Okay, Terry, we're recording at two different places, so we shouldn't miss anything.
Great, well then I will call the Public Safety Committee to order on July 6th at 5:30 PM, 2021. Welcome, Counselor Wells here, Counselor Washburn is here. We're back in open session, so we have some visitors in the audience as well as Chief Morris is present. So, any comments on the minutes or can we proceed?
The minutes aren't here. I did not have time. My admin's gone and we just did not have time to get them, to get the tape back and get them dictated, so they will be in next month's packet.
No problem. That happens in other committees sometimes too, so we'll look at both of them at the same time. Great. Departmental update. I'm going to turn the time over to Chief Morris.
We've been relatively busy. We've had about a week and a half ago, we had a home invasion just down the street where there was a person that broke into a house, and there were three subjects, and they were all armed with knives, one of them armed with a machete that was tied to his wrist with a leather strap. Two of them were armed with asps, which is a collapsible fleece-type baton. They demanded the occupants of the house turn over all of their drugs to them, and their money and anything else. They ended up being in the house, I think, for about a half an hour. They stole one of the occupants of the house vehicles
and
took off. We don't know how much money they got. They got a bunch of phones, they got a bunch of electronics. The people in the house denied that they got any drugs, but I don't know if they want to report those as missing. We recovered the vehicle a short while later, a couple blocks from the one suspect's house. The suspect in this case, we had arrested about a week and a half earlier for a pretty significant domestic abuse where he, among other things, had taken bite marks out of the female girlfriend's back. And he had been lodged at Lane County Jail and subsequently released from that. We have temporary wants out on him and we're still looking for him out roaming around in the community. Had a number of issues up at Country Crossroads. The more tenants that get settled in there, the more calls that we're getting, the frequency with which we are out there is increasing pretty dramatically. A lot of repeat customers. We were out there the other night where we had a woman that was high on something. I don't know that we've determined exactly what. But she had an infant, and one of the witnesses that we were never able later to relocate, but said that she was holding the infant over the third floor railing and was going to drop it onto the ground from the third floor. We've been out to this house multiple times. It's domestic violence going both directions between her and the male half that lives there. After arresting the female, she went to the hospital, but then said she was leaving. But we found that she had warrants out on her, so we arrested her and made her get evaluated. We got child welfare involved, and they took the kid, and we lodged her in jail. She couldn't remember the child's name. She couldn't remember where she lived. She couldn't remember anything. There's no way she could care for the infant. We're still attempting to locate the male half of it to get his story. We're not sure if there was any violence on his part or if he merely was really just trying to get the kid back into a safe position. Same apartment complex. We had a person that was refusing to leave, and we've had problems with this person. He's been armed with weapons in the past, causing a lot of problems and disturbances down there. We finally ended up arresting him. We've reopened the jail. He was our inaugural guest in our jail, so we're back up and able to take prisoners. While he was in there, somebody forged a bill of sale and his signature on one of his motorcycles and went and stole the motorcycle. and we recovered the motorcycle about an hour and 45 minutes after it had been stolen in the front yard of the house where the kids had set the apartment on fire here about 3 months ago. That was the fire you were out on, said. Same complex, we recovered the motorcycle in the front yard. He was stripping it as quickly as he could. But he was had a felony statewide parole violation warrant on him for weapons charges and I think some drug-related charges. So we took him into custody on the parole violation and charged him with UUMB and forgery. Problem is, when he forged the guy's name, he misspelled his first name in the forgery, and he dated it for a date where the guy was sitting inside of our jail. So he couldn't have signed the bill of sale. So we took him for the forgery one, lodged him, and I think he's still presently lodged on that. We've picked up a number of other people for warrants in the last couple weeks. We've stayed sufficiently busy.
I got a copy of the Tribune News, and in it, it has where the sheriff up there put in the calls they go on. I think that's something we should look into, to putting in our local paper so everyone knows what's going on and everything else. I mean, it says 15 traffic stops, 21 warnings, one citation, two arrests of adults, three juveniles, and so on and so forth. I think that's something we ought to put in our paper so the people in our community can see what's going on and know that things are being done, because I'm going to get it off my chest right now. I am not happy with the traffic control that's being done in this city. I have a printout that's dated 1/1/2021 to 6/30 of 2021. We have had 25% of the accidents have been on Ivy Street. I seen it today coming down here again. People running lights. And it's like, this is ridiculous to have that many accidents on Ivy Street. And we had another one today at 5 o'clock or somewhere up now, a little bit before that. Excuse me, out by Safeway.
And I was on that and issued a citation.
That's what I'm saying, though. We have too many people running lights. I have seen cars, motorcycles, semis blow through lights in this town like it's okay. Not even there.
I appreciate the comment, Councilor Washburn, but I want to kind of remind you that before you go into talking too much, you want to probably be recognized, and we might want to get that item on the agenda so we could have a more thorough discussion of it.
It was brought up at the last meeting, and nothing's being done.
Okay, that doesn't...
I'm getting complaints from citizens
that's
of
fine.
Junction City.
That's fine, Councilor Washburn. I'm not saying you're not, and I'm not saying we don't need to discuss it. What I'm saying is it's not on the agenda. So we're not just going to discuss whatever we want to discuss because we noticed...
Where are we going to discuss it?
We noticed this agenda to the public. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight.
There's nothing on this agenda for public comment again.
Well, I don't have to put public comment on the agenda, Councilor Washburn. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine, and we could certainly discuss that, but the fact that something isn't on the agenda does not mean that you can just put it on the agenda because you want it. So as a committee, we can discuss what we want on the agenda, and then we would have a more thorough discussion of the thing. It sounds like you brought it up 2 months in a row. You want to talk about it, so perhaps we should, but we got a limited time tonight, and we only have a couple things on here.
Do we have a limited time tonight is what I'd like to know.
Well, that's another good question you have. But we've chose this as the spot to meet, and we have another committee meeting afterwards.
The other committee meeting starts at 6:30.
That's fine.
If this has a conflict of interest for anybody in this room right now, then we need to move this meeting back to where it was in the original date instead of moving it up to this Tuesday.
Okay, so now that's three things it sounds like you'd like to discuss, but again, we're not just going to discuss them just because you throw them out there, and we haven't even been able to discuss the first one yet. So we can't just throw things out there haphazardly and expect them to get worked on. So
that is one of the problems I'm seeing, Councilor Gamby, is nothing's being done on things we need to do. It's all going by the wayside.
Hmm. I disagree with that, but I respect your opinion. So let's go back to our agenda for now. And when we look at our agenda forecast review, that's when our committee has the ability to discuss things we'd like on a future agenda as a committee, not just as an individual counselor kind of telling the rest of us what we're going to discuss. So
I'm not saying telling everybody what to discuss.
Okay.
I'm voicing my opinion.
And that's fine.
I'm frustrated with what's going on in this town.
So let's discuss that at the agenda forecaster review, and as a committee we can decide if some of those items we want to revisit. Okay. Because I don't like it just going by the wayside, but I also don't like coming to a meeting and not knowing what we're going to discuss. So I don't like getting hit blindsided. So we got to just kind of do it the way the committee's set up.
I'm going to say one more thing. If you're talking about blindsided, this packet is supposed to be at my house on Friday afternoon. I did not get this packet until 12:34 this morning.
Okay. So thank you for the departmental update. Thank you also for what you do, you know, all those things that you discussed briefly. I'm grateful that we have people in our town who are willing to try to maintain the peace when those kind of things are going on. So I appreciate what you and your officers are doing. Okay, any other comments right now on the departmental update?
Thanks for the information, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item number 4.
And this is identical to what was in the packet last month. We just ran out of time and we just moved it to this meeting. This is a city ordinance that pertains to vehicles being left running on roadside. Like if people come out in the morning, if the car's, the window's icy or whatever, it's really hot, they want to warm the car up or cool it down. The way that our current city ordinance is written prohibits that, but the way that the city ordinance is written, I don't have the exact date. Oh, yes, I do. It was written in 1972 is when it was enacted. And in one particular instance, it is causing a repetitive issue of complaints from two citizens that live across from each other, and it is a constant battle back and forth. The one complainant says that the person runs their truck and they're in violation of city code, which by city code they are, and then the person who's in violation of city code goes over and parks their car on the curb across the street and effectively blocks the person in, but they're not in violation of city code. And there are days that we get sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 calls from these people. There is a letter that is also attached and made part of this packet from the citizen that's involved with having his vehicle running. And he has some concerns with it. We too have some concerns with it. The technology and vehicle security and the design of the vehicle has changed radically since 1972. And you can now have a truck that runs, or a vehicle that runs and is actually safe and cannot be stolen. And so we have proposed much more simplified wording for an ordinance, which is just above where it says committee options. And that's what we would recommend, replace the language that is in the very first paragraph under background.
Comments, Councilor Wells, Councilor Washburn?
Chairman Gamp. Just to clarify, it says first securing the vehicle. Does that mean it has to be locked, or does that just secure?
Locked. It would have to be locked to where somebody could not get into it, or that the vehicle could not be moved. For example, our patrol cars, I can set a button on the back of the steering wheel. It says secure active park. And so every time I get out of my car, I hit secure active park. The car is running. I can leave the door open. It's not going to make a difference. The person can get in the car. They can't take the car out of park. So I don't really want to limit it to completely secured. I don't see a need to do that. We could maybe clean this up a little bit and say secured so that the vehicle could not be moved by unauthorized people. So that way we could tweak that a little bit.
I think this is clear. I just wanted to clarify it in my own.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering that same thing. Thank you for asking. Councilor Washburn, anything?
Yeah, because with the newer vehicles, you're right. There's no way you can.
Yeah.
You can move them. I mean, it just, yeah. And if by chance I leave my keys in the car when I get out, it tells me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea to stop a lot of theft. But my guess, one of my questions is, what about some of the people we have that are log truck drivers that have to build their air up in the morning prior to leaving? Is that, how is this going to affect them?
Right now they can't unless they sit in the truck. Okay. By us changing this, it allows them and enables them to do that.
Okay.
And this person has a diesel, and that is the issue. He wants to warm it up on a cold morning. He wants to warm it up so it doesn't ruin the engine.
Correct.
And the neighbor across the street just doesn't like him, so she calls and reports it. Technically, he's in violation. We have to go out and tell him, and then we just go. It starts the day off at 4:30 in the morning, and the calls don't stop till 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And this would rectify it. And I believe we're not doing it to address a single incident. I think that this code needs to be cleaned up. And as I had mentioned before, there are a number of codes that we want to put on the agenda forecaster that we look at. That I mean, they're dealing with mechanical whistles and train whistles and replacing the wooden 2x4s on the sidewalks where the horses hitch, where you hitch the horses. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff that just is so old that it's just not even applicable anymore. And so as we have time, we want to go through here and try and clean these up. And so what we would do is just, if you're okay with this wording change, we'll run it by our legal counsel, get their approval on it, and then bring it back to council if that's what you guys feel is an appropriate action.
Well, I would like to do that. I'd like item choice number two in our options down below for now, and then, like he said, we get a look at it again at council level.
That'd be one or two, because one is adopted, two is revised.
I meant one, thank you. Yeah. I'm for one personally, but what do you guys want to do?
I would agree.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay, so we will prepare that. We will send it to legal counsel, let them review it, and then I don't know how we do it. I don't know if it's a resolution. I don't know what the actual mechanics are, but I'll figure that out.
Great. Appreciate you doing that.
As far as the overview, one of the things that I didn't mention was that the police department had accreditation prior to my coming. They had lost accreditation because they were out of compliance. We got the accreditation back through Oregon Accreditation Reliance, and we're now in our second recertification cycle. OAA, or Oregon Accreditation Alliance, also accredits dispatch centers, or PSAPs, public safety answering points. There are a total of 49 PSAPs in the state of Oregon. Of those 49, presently only 6 have obtained OAA accreditation. We now are number 7. We've passed all of the standards. We've passed our inspections. They've written the report. It will go to their next quarterly meeting, I think in August or September, at which point they will award accreditation to us. As a side note, this is something that actually is making its way through the legislature. I don't know where, I don't know if it made it through this last session or not, but they are wanting to make a mandate that agencies with 30 or more employees must be accredited. 30 or more sworn police officers must be accredited, because the accreditation sets a standard by which we need to be measured and we need to hold ourselves accountable to. So we are really way ahead of the curve. Obviously, we're less than 30 sworn officers, and we're already accredited, and we're way ahead of the curve, and we're really ahead of the curve as dispatch centers are concerned. And so that's something we're really really excited about. It's a big leap forward.
Hmm. Yeah, that's exciting. Let's take a look at the overview of Lexipol certified police pursuit policy. I'm going to turn the time over to Chief Morris on this one. This was, as it says here in the AIS, this was requested by Councilor Washburn. And now we got a little more time to discuss it. So thank you, Chief Morris.
We utilize a company that's called Lexipol, and they are a nationwide company that has a battery of attorneys that examines the laws in each state. It examines case laws that are heard at the various circuit courts, federal circuit courts and Supreme Court. And they go through and they look at policies and craft policies that are specific to each state. So our pursuit policy may be different than that which occurs in California or in Washington. One of the key components that OAA, Oregon Accreditation Alliance, looks at are the policies or what actually is more closely defined as operational guidelines as opposed to policies. And they, OAA mandates very specific language be present within those guidelines or policies in order to be accredited. If certain language is not contained in those policies, they will fail you, they will not accredit you because you're not holding up to industry best practice standards. And so we've got OAA, that's the accrediting body for law enforcement and dispatch agencies. And then you've got Lexipol, which is another company that actually writes the policies and crafts them based on case law and statute and industry best practices. In the event there is any kind of litigation or other issues that arise out of any of the Lexipol policies that we utilize, then their attorneys help provide a defense at no cost. It's part of the expense that we pay for being members of them. They will come in and they will help litigate any allegations that there is an issue with the policy or the operational guideline. Pursuit policy, as all of our policies, again, are not necessarily specific to Junction City. They are nationwide, statewide, industry best practice standards that is established through Lexipol, established through case law, both Oregon case law and national federal case law, and based on what Oregon Accreditation Alliance establishes as minimum standards. And that is the framework. This is not this. These operational objectives or policies or whatever you choose to call them, it says policy on here, but in fact it really is an operational guideline, is not something that somebody at Junction City sat down and wrote. This was crafted by a bunch of attorneys and reviewed and evaluated based on best practice, based on case law, based on what they believe to be the best practice standards. And then if we have something that we wish to deviate from, then agencies can do that. We really don't. We pretty much adhere to what their recommendations are.
Well, Councilor Member Washburn requested this, I'm going to go ahead and direct some time to you if you'd like, and ask you to kind of help us understand what you're looking at.
Well, my thing is, vehicle pursuits are the number one injury for officers. And I guess one of them is outside of the city. How familiar are our officers familiar with clear out Highway 36, clear out, say, towards Deadwood? do we turn that over to the sheriff's department and let them take it over?
When we get into a pursuit, we always have or usually have assistance. We provide assistance to Springfield. We provide assistance to all the area agencies. Part of the officer's field training includes significant geographical education, because we know that we're not going to be limited just to the corporate city limits of Junction City. We actually do an extensive amount of area familiarization, because we are covering Oregon State Police, we are covering Lane County, Linn County, Benton County Sheriff's Office, so it's vital that we have an understanding. The policy itself is structured in a way that one of the determining factors whether a pursuit is continued or discontinued is based on the officer's familiarity with the area that they're in, combined with their years of experience, combined with their ability to handle a vehicle, their experience handling a vehicle.
I guess one of my other things on this is, when we get in a pursuit, and you've brought this up before, that we are, you know, working on getting more officers, when that takes two officers out of town, who is protecting the city, is what I want to know.
And that is, we would, if we had a major incident, we would terminate the pursuit at that point. If we had something major in town, and we would come back. It is really no different than if we are at the jail. It is no different than if we are at University District Hospital. When we only have one or two people on, the other night we had one person at the jail and one person at University District Hospital. I was on, so we had a third car. Actually, we had four people on. But we don't have any way of controlling that, and that is no different than any police agency in the state that is a small department. When Sweet Home has to take somebody to Linn County Jail, they have one officer on at night, that's it. They are relying on the county, they are relying on the state police. And we all work very well together to make sure that we're trying to cover people's areas for when people are gone. We monitor each other's channels, and we have an idea of what's going on around us. And the people that we are encountering just outside the city limits of Junction City come into Junction City and commit crimes. The last pursuit that we had, the person was weaving all across the center line, the two southbound traffic lanes, on a motorcycle. I thought he was drunk. He almost hit a car. I turned on him. It turned out the motorcycle was reported stolen. He was armed with a pistol that was in his back. He was not a proficient rider and could not focus on driving the bike and grabbing the gun to shoot at me at the same time. He was an extreme hazard to people, anyone that he is encountering. And based on the totality of the circumstances, in conjunction with the sheriff's office, we continued to pursue this person. And this is the same person that we have been having problems at Country Crossroads. He lives here. He is a resident here. And so he is doing stuff, illegal stuff, within the city. And just because they happen to be outside the city by a couple miles doesn't mean that they're not coming in, doing their shopping here, taking catalytic converters off, doing whatever it is that they're doing, and then leaving. So it's really to our advantage to make sure that we are helping outside agencies and being involved. And again, this was the circumstances, and this dictated that it was a reasonable and prudent thing. We were outside the city. We were on roads with very little intersections. All of this is within the guidelines of the pursuit policy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. The list of crashes or whatever, where did you get that? Because I want to make sure that you actually have accurate information.
I got this from the Elite Organization of Agencies.
I'm sorry?
I can give it to you right here. Here, find another copy.
That's the name of it?
It's right down on the bottom.
Well, good. Thank you for that information on quite a bit of information there on where our policy handbook comes from, as well as the, you know, operational guidelines. Counselor Wells, did you have anything you'd like to chime in on that section of the discussion tonight?
I'd just like to say that I want to take the time to read this. And I'm not going to do it right now, but so next meeting I might have some questions, but it's several pages, and I think...
And you are more than, as I've said, you're more than welcome to give me a call. I think you will find that it's very comprehensive, and it takes into account officers' experience, their familiarity with the area that they're in, the availability of cover, the seriousness of the crime, traffic conditions, weather conditions, road conditions. It takes into a whole array of different things. And these parameters are established not by us, but they are established by federal case law. In our case, it's the Ninth Circuit Court, and by case law established by the Oregon Supreme Court and Oregon Court of Appeals, as well as insurance carriers, as well as OAA. It's not just one entity. You don't have a single set of eyes on this. You have a multitude of people reviewing it that are looking at different aspects of litigation, trying to ensure that we're doing what we need to be doing and that we're coloring basically within the lines. So if you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call.
I have one more. It also goes on the very last page. During the calendar year, first calendar year, quarter of each year, it goes annual review. How often are we having those reviews of pursuit?
OAA looked at that, and we are doing them as per the policy.
Okay.
And just for the record, we have very, very few pursuits. We have very few pursuits. There is another agency in the area, saying broad area, that will chase the cars till they either A, run out of gas, or the wheels fall off of the car. And that's, in our opinion, is not acceptable. They literally will run until they run out of gas or the wheels fall off the car. And it's not worth it. If we can identify the driver, we're shutting it down. Unless this person committed murder, or they're doing something where we have to stop them. If we can identify the driver, we're going to shut it down. It's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it for anybody's safety to keep going when we can go get a warrant for the person as long as we know who they are. So there's a ton of things that factor into our decision to whether we are and are not going to pursue. And of all of our cases, we have, I'm going to guess we have maybe 2 pursuits a year, 3 pursuits a year. It really is a very low number.
Well, I think that's informative to take a look at that. I appreciate you giving us this information. I appreciate the counselor asking a question, and it's led to a lot of discussion here. So a lot of thoughts and a lot of information passed along to us. So, okay, so thank you very much for that. It's now time to take a look at our agenda forecast review, which you see here. So like we talked about in our city council training, there's lots of different ways a counselor or as a member of the city can get things in on a committee agenda, or at least get them on the agendas enough so that the committee could vote on whether to put it on the agenda, right? You guys, everybody following me? So this discussion at the end of our meetings is the appropriate place in our committee to talk as a committee about things we'd like to see on the agenda. There's other means in the city for getting things on the agenda. You can go to City Hall and file out paperwork, but reserved specifically for committee meetings, this point in our discussion every month, our agenda is for that discussion. So rather than, and we already talked about it at the beginning, so I don't need to go into it again, but this is the place where I'd like to hear Counselor Washburn say some things that he'd like to potentially put on the agenda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I have the floor?
Sure.
I'd like to put traffic enforcement that needs to be done in the city. Okay, talking about it. Beans were rewriting some of the ordinances.
Okay.
I've noticed so many people on narrow streets, like on Southwest Laurel, parked on the wrong side of the road.
So wrong way parking?
Wrong way parking. I would like to know actually the actual number of vehicles we have in the city for the police department. And I think for a great discussion would be possibly moving this meeting back to the original date where it was at, so we're not pushed for time to get things done. That's all I have.
Okay, well, those are four great things. So as a committee now, let's take a look at those four items and decide if we as a committee want to direct staff to spend time on them, right? So that's the next process. Because again, I can't just, well, actually as the committee chair, I can. But on another committee, I can't just tell. So I'm not opposed to any of those items, but I just want to kind of remind us that that's the procedure that's in place right now. So as a committee, do we want to direct our staff representative to spend time on those four items? Counselor Wells.
Also, we should just look at them each item and do them one at a time.
Okay, let's talk about the wrong way parking question. I for one, am in favor of reviewing that policy, right? I think just in line with the ordinance we reviewed today, I think that would be fun when staff has time to put that together as an AIS. I'd love to look at that.
Okay.
Or hear more about it.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Especially since we really don't, we look at our agenda forecaster right now and it's blank for pending
right.
items. So I think we've got room in maybe one a month or whatever we want to do. But yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, number two, talking about meeting time. So I'm open to discussion of when we'd like to have a meeting. I'm fine with this time. It does have some restrictions, but another time might also have restrictions because as a volunteer and as everybody else is volunteering their time, I'm not necessarily agreeing to come to a meeting and have it take however much time anybody wants, right? I'm making a commitment of a certain time on the agenda. I'm not turning over my time with a blank check to anybody, just so we're clear. But I'm just saying, just because we change it to another time doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to sit here for 3 hours in a committee meeting.
I appreciate your comment on that, but when we took this job as a counselor, I feel that we did this for the city. We are here to take as much time as it takes to get the job done and do the right work for the citizens of Junction City, Oregon.
Yeah, and that you're certainly entitled to that, and I can respectfully agree that we can get the job done without necessarily turning over 3 hours in a committee meeting on any given Tuesday. So we can disagree on that, but back to the point at hand, I'm just reminding you as the committee chair right now, I'm not doing blank check meetings that can go as long as anybody wants them to go. We're going to have an agenda. We're going to get through the agenda, and that's how I'm going to run this committee for as long as I'm in this particular chair. That doesn't mean we sometimes can't go over, but I'm just saying in general. So back to the question of when we want to hold the meeting, I'm happy with asking our staff member to bring us back some other options if we're unhappy with this time. Counselor Wells.
I just want to say that if an item's on the agenda, if we have an agenda set, I think we do need to give it the time so we do finish the agenda. And I think that there's going to be times that, like for instance, the budget committee, we didn't have a meeting 2 months ago because of the judiciary committee didn't have a meeting because the budget committee still met. And so unfortunately, we had our last meeting was long, but it was because we had 2 months worth in one meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I think so. What I'm saying is, I think that's gonna be the exception, and I agree with Counselor Gamby. But I think if we have that, we need to give it the items to time. And I think also, we're just now getting back into meetings that we can have members from the public here. And I think maybe some of the meetings were fairly short because our agenda weren't as long and we didn't have members of the public, but I think it's important for them too. And it's important for us to get through all the business. So I think it would be good to ask staff for recommendations. And, you know, personally, I would like to see if we can work it into this same week because it does spread. We have enough meetings as it goes, but if a certain day would be better, I mean, I'm open to, for that. I'm open to suggestions.
Counselor Washburn.
That's my thing, and I agree with Counselor Wells. If it's on the agenda, okay, we have to get through it, and I feel like, due to the fact there's another meeting coming in tonight, I feel like we're being pushed to get everything done and not working through all the aspects of everything that needs to be worked through.
Yeah, so I think it's a fair question to ask if there might be a better time to meet that gave us a little bit more flexibility on the time. I don't necessarily have a preference beyond, you know, I'd like to have our meeting sometime before city council is scheduled in the month. That's the only preference I'd have in case there's something from our agenda that needs to be addressed. And we don't always have a work session city council that second time. So I'd prefer to have the meeting either the last week of the month or the first week of the month prior to city council. So I don't know what your schedule's like, but it sounds like the committee would like some suggestions, some...
We will come back with something at the next meeting.
Potentially give us some options.
Yeah. Maybe another option also might be the meeting, that the next meeting is after this, maybe could we start at 7 instead of 6:30. I mean, as a thought. Then, mm-hmm. then we could always have, if we needed it an hour, if we only needed a half hour, so be it. But I mean, that might at least give us an option. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, John, that it needs to be before the council meeting.
Sure. Okay. Well, good. Okay, and then we, I'm sorry, Counselor Washburn, could you remind me what the other item was that you brought up just now?
Oh, number of vehicles we actually have in the police department.
Okay. Counselor Wells, any comments on that topic?
Well, that was just, you just want the information? I mean, and then a discussion?
I've got an old one. And I think we're way overstocked on vehicles for the number of officers we have in town.
Well, then I would be okay with that somewhere down the line.
Okay, I'm fine with that being a topic of discussion. I guess I'm not. We've given our department chairs certain discretionary spending ability, and I don't necessarily want to question that every time they spend money, because I personally don't want to get into that micromanaging of our department chairs when they're spending below their limits. So, I mean, I guess it's, might be nice to know informationally periodically, like what the different departments have, but I don't necessarily want to hear about it every month because that takes time. So, Officer Chief Morris, what's your comment? You want to give it that info to us once a year, or what do you think about that question?
Once a year, and I think if we have the ability to give an explanation, on the surface, if you look at number of officers, and we really don't have that many vehicles based on the number of officers that were allocated. And I think that if given an opportunity to explain how that works, I think that that would be a benefit, because everybody would be able to hear exactly why.
Okay.
Yeah, the numbers may seem high, but in reality and practical application, they really aren't. So I would eagerly do that, you know, once a year or something, if that's...
It sounds like we'd like to put that on the agenda forecaster. I'm hearing from both of them. So if we could pencil that in and soon, that'd be great. And then If you have the ability to provide that at the next meeting, that'd be great. And then you could give that background information that you're...
Yep, absolutely. And then he wanted to also talk about traffic enforcement.
Right.
Okay, and that kind of would fall under... Well, what would that fall under? Is that a operational guidelines?
The parking is a city ordinance issue that would need to be revisited, and I would want to look at how, because it's incorporated in, it's not just a single item in that ordinance, it's much bigger.
Sure, so that's the wrong way parking.
That would be something that we would look at as a whole.
Right, because I think some of our ordinances are way out of date.
Yeah, exactly.
So where...
Catch up on water.
You don't tie your horse out front anymore?
No.
So where would the traffic enforcement question fit in?
It could be its own topic. I guess, what would you like to, as a topic item, what would you like to...
I would like to know how much time is actually spent in the city on traffic control, because it's just, to me, it's getting worse and worse and worse in people running lights and everything else. Like I said, I have seen semis run through, and one of these days they're gonna hit somebody broadside, and it's not gonna be pretty.
Okay, I think to get that on the agenda, I have no problem with that. I've gotta think creatively to how...
That's fine.
How to answer...
Okay.
And quantify what you're looking for.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I don't want anybody to jump anything halfway.
Yeah, I need to be creative.
Okay.
How I quantify it to where the numbers that we provide are realistic and they have value to them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at those kind of questions, what we're really asking, I'm not saying what Councilor Washburn, what I think of is, as a percentage, what kind of time are we allocating? Because our staff time is limited, our police force is limited, we only have so many officers, so many dispatchers, they're working a normal 40-hour week. I know you work overtime sometimes and other things, but in general, that's an interesting question, But so you give us the information back, then we kind of have a baseline. Okay, we never knew this information before, now we know that so many hours in this month, but the next month it could change because maybe different crimes start happening and all some police are pulled off of. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know how you answer it. And I also don't know necessarily how we could track it over time, because that's the real question in my mind, isn't what happened last month, which is in the past, but it sounds like Councilor Washburn's kind of wanting more time to be allocated to that. But
statistically, one of the things that we can look at is number, quantity of citations issued, and we look at them in a year's period of time. And from when I started, pandemic being an exception, we have steadily gone up. Our citation numbers have gone up radically.
Mm. Well, yeah, so that might be a way to look at it.
That's one measure. Being able to tell you that Officer A is spending 30 minutes a day dedicated on traffic enforcement, I'm not gonna sit here and say at this moment that's impossible, but I'm gonna say that it's really pretty unrealistic.
Right.
Because we don't have a way to capture that.
Right.
There's
other calls.
Correct. I mean, I'm working traffic enforcement in theory when I'm just driving around, but that becomes skewed because then it shows I'm doing, 8 hours of traffic enforcement a day, but I've only got 15 tickets to show for it. It doesn't pencil. It doesn't. The numbers aren't real. Citations are real. They're tangible. I can touch them. Written warnings, verbal warnings, citations. That's something that's tangible. It's quantifiable, and it's something that we can measure. And that so that that's one thing that is a definite that we can provide. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it sounds like the committee is all interested in those four topics Councilor Washburn brought up. I appreciate you being willing to look into that and then getting those on the agenda forecast, or whether they can all be next month or over the next couple months. Like Councilor Wells said, even if we tackled a couple a month, then we start to fill out the forecaster and we can see some things where we're going and what we're finding out. So,
cool.
Okay, so we're... I'd like to comment on another thing Counselor Washburn brought up at the beginning. Thank you for being here tonight. Your time is as valuable as our time. I appreciate you making time to come out and participate where our government is happening in this committee meeting. In particular, I'll call out, all of you are active in the community doing a lot of things. So thank you for coming here. I'd like to comment on the public comment side of this committee meeting, so it's out there in the open. I'm not necessarily going to open up every issue that we have in our committee meeting to public comment, just because part of it is getting the counselors some information that we can work with. The second part of it is that we have other meetings in the city every month that you're welcome to come and give comment in. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to have every meeting open to public comment. Now, you might not like me for that. You might wish I would do it differently, but we have two city council meetings a month where public comments are open. Those meetings are better equipped to handle and direct. So if you come to city council and you have a concern that needs to be addressed in this committee, city council can direct it to this committee and it will be on our agenda, right? I'm not always going to have public comment on here because I'm just not. There's other ways you can get things on this agenda. You can go to City Hall and fill out a piece of paper. If you make a comment in here, I don't necessarily have to do anything with that comment. If you put it on a piece of paper in City Hall, we have to address it in this meeting. So in the past, we've had hundreds of comments in City Council that never go anywhere. People have come to City Council and complained about that. Hey, I made this comment in City Council. It didn't go anywhere. Well, that's the nature of making a comment in a public comment way. But if you put it on a piece of paper at City Hall, it's directed to this committee. These three people in this position will look at that piece of paper, and we will decide if we're going to put it on our agenda, right? So you may not like that. You may like it. I hope you like it because you're great people and we're great people too. We're all great. So thank you for coming out tonight. I'm going to adjourn this meeting now.
Can I make one comment, please? There's one item on here which I think that we as counselors should have an opportunity to comment. You know, it should be on the agenda, counselor comments.
Oh.
And that way, it's just like on our city council meeting, there's a spot for counselor comments. I think that's important because I agree we need to follow the agenda. And I'm not going to bring up something that's not on the agenda unless it falls into counselor comments or, you know, then I can at least bring something out.
That's interesting. I kind of think of that as being able to come out during agenda forecaster review. You already got a chance to bring things up that we could put on our agenda. So in my head, I'm thinking that you and Councilor Washburn have that opportunity as discussing our agenda forecaster.
But we may have a question for the chief.
That's true.
And this is where we should be
okay.
Asking that question.
So would you like to put that on our agenda forecaster, that discussion?
I would like to see it on the agenda.
I know, but I'm not putting it on the agenda yet, permanently. So I'm asking if, as a committee, you'd like to put that on the agenda forecaster for us to discuss. Because I'm not opposed to hearing your reasoning, and I'm not opposed to hearing your reasoning, but I want to discuss it in an actual thing. I'm not going to just put it on automatically right now because, like I just said, I think you have an opportunity in agenda forecaster, and you have opportunities at city council. We got so many opportunities to talk. So I'm not... But if you'd like it on the agenda forecaster, we can certainly discuss it.
I agree with Councilor Wells. It should be on the agenda forecast and be on there.
Okay, that's another item. Did you say?
So noted.
So noted. Okay, so that will be our fifth item we're adding to the agenda forecaster. Okay, with 4 minutes to go, we're going to adjourn this meeting and look forward to the next committee. Have fun. Here's your chairs. Have a good night.
You too.
Do you want to share some of those questions?
Yep.
Take care. Good night.
See you later. You look like you've been working hard.